Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We want to welcome each one to our broadcast today. Thank you for taking the time to join with us, and we do pray that the Lord will bless us as we study His Word together. Let's just take a moment to turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord and our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity to meet around Thy precious Word today. We do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt speak to us. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt show us Thy truth and help us to be obedient to it. We pray especially if there are any who do not know Christ as their own and personal Savior, that even today they will turn from their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ and His finished work on the cross of Calvary. We thank Thee for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanseth from every sin. O Lord, we pray You'll speak by Thy Spirit today and give help in the teaching of Thy Word. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask these things. Amen. We're turning to Psalm 90 for our scripture reading. Psalm 90 and verse number 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is our strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Amen. We pray God will add a blessing to the public reading of his word. This time we're going to sing a hymn, and it's entitled, Life at Best is Very Brief. The words teach us are found several times in the scriptures. In Judges chapter 13, verse 8, we read the words, teach us what we shall do unto the child. And certainly when we come to God's word, we have advice given to parents and instruction given on how to raise their children, knowing the knowledge of God, train up a child in the way that he shall go. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, we read this verse, he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And not only are parents in the Word of God taught how to raise their children, but the Lord teaches his people how to live. And whenever we read the Word of God, we learn the ways of God, and then we can walk in his ways and in his paths. Of course, Scripture reveals that they are paths of righteousness, and when we follow the Lord as Christians, then we will live lives that bring glory to him, living in the beauty of holiness. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we read this request, Lord, teach us to pray. And there were times in Scripture whenever the Lord took his disciples aside and taught them what the content of their prayer ought to be. But this particular request doesn't ask, Lord, teach us how to pray. I believe they did know how to pray, but it's teach us to pray. Lord, press upon our hearts the importance and the necessity of prayer. And surely that's something every believer needs to be reminded of again and again, that we ought to be men and women, young people of prayer. But when we come to our text today, it is found in Psalm 90 and verse number 12. And it's another teach us of the scriptures. And it is, teach us to number our days. The verse reads in its entirety, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I simply want to have a think about this verse. I want us to consider it from three different angles. The word number means to weigh out. To weigh out, to measure. The word teach means to acknowledge, to be aware, to discern, or to understand. And therefore, what this verse is saying, it is teach us or cause us to acknowledge that we have a limited time here upon this earth. Firstly, I want us to consider from this verse the bounds of our days. The bounds of our days. You see, the Lord has created our bounds, our life and our death. And we cannot pass them. And this speaks to us very much so about the power of God. And this brings us back to one of the fundamental truths of the scripture, that God is creator. He has created us. When we think of every aspect of our being, it is the hand of God. It is He alone that can create life. He alone can give physical life. And certainly God alone can give spiritual life. And He alone ought to be the one that takes life. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But when we think about the bounds of our days, we not only think about the power of God, but we think about the providence of God. God has given me these days. God has given you the days that you have lived and the days that you will live. It's wonderful to think that God has ordained the place and the time, the very generation in which you're born, the family to which you belong, and the very circumstances of your birth. I know there are times when people wish, well, I wish I'd lived then, or I wish I'd lived way back then. Life was easier, life was different. But the Lord, in His providence, has caused you to be alive now. And this is a time in which He wants you to be upon this earth. But not only has He ordained your birth, He has also ordained your death. The Word of God says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And there is a day in God's record book, a day, a moment, the very second, when you will breathe your final breath. Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, each one of us will go through the valley of the shadow of death. We do not know the day, we do not know the hour, but the Lord in His sovereign wisdom knows. And therefore, as we consider these thoughts, we have to come to some practicalities of this truth. Life is for a limited time. We are only here for a certain time. And it's so important that you do not live with such a focus on this life that you forget that there is an eternity in which you have to spend. Not only that, but we find life is precious because it is a gift from God. Sadly, today we see a world that treats life with great contempt. We see movements rising up all around us, the promotion of murder and the glorification of murder. You can change the name, but it is still what God calls it to be. And life is precious. It is not for man to decide to take another person's life, whether in the womb or out of the womb. But that right belongs to the Lord and the Lord alone. Life is a gift from God. But do remember, life will come to an end. Someday, you'll breathe your final breath. Your heart will beat for the final time. Your soul will leave your body. And you will go in to eternity. Teach us to number our days, the bounds of our days. But secondly, teach us to number our days, the brevity of our days. When we come to the Word of God, there are many descriptions of the years of a man's life. We read, for example, it is as a tale that is told. We read, it is as the grass or the flower that flourisheth for a little while and then is cut down. We read that it is a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. We read in Psalm 144, it is as a shadow. Even though someone lives into their 100th year and beyond, speaking to such people in their senior years, they will still tell you this, life is short. Life is short. We sang a few moments ago, life at best is very brief. And the reality is that the majority of people assume they're going to live for much longer than they actually will. We have an example of this in Scripture. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verses 15 to 21, we read of a man who was successful. He was a farmer, and he was good at his work. He was good and successful in bringing in the crops. And the problem was that in his life, he had so much that he wanted to make provision for the great harvest that was coming in. And there's nothing wrong with making plans in life. There's absolutely nothing wrong with planning ahead. In fact, the Bible speaks about the wisdom of planning. But the great problem with this man was that in all his plans, the focus was on time. And he left God and eternity and his soul out of every consideration that he had. He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He only focused on the physical. He presumed upon tomorrow. He left God out of his plans. You know, there are many people, and they're living like that. If I ask them about their preparations that they've made for a future holiday or vacation, they would be able to tell me exactly what they had planned. Their plans for their children, their plans for their family, their plans for their home. And many people are living and making plans. And when you look at their plans, they have not factored in the fact that someday this brief life is coming to an end. Is it possible that you have been living your lifetime without considering the fact that you are going to face eternity? We know this from personal experience. Death is all around us. We know of people in their senior years who passed away. We know of infants and young adults suddenly called out into eternity. We know that fear of death whenever something's wrong in the body and we have to go for tests in the hospital and we're waiting until the doctor comes to tell us what the results are, and the thought comes into our mind, could I be dying? But aside from the times when we are in the presence of death or there's a threat of death in our life, we just seem to go on and to go on and to go on without any consideration for eternity. You know, you don't have to be old to die. You don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be weak to die. But listen, you do need to be prepared. You do need to be saved. If you're going to be in heaven, if you're going to know what it is to close your eyes in this whole wicked world and open them up in the presence of the Lord, then you need to be prepared. You need to come God's way. The children's chorus says, one way God said to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. A friend, no matter how young or old you are, you do not know how close you are to eternity. It could be that you're in your final month, your final day, your final hour. You do not know when you will die, but thank God you can know that you're ready to die. We've thought about the bounds of our days. We've thought about the brevity of our days. But let's think for a moment about the blessings of our days. I know there are many believers who are watching these broadcasts. And for those of us who are saved, every day that God gives is a precious gift. This is a day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, the psalmist said. And I know we often speak to unsaved people, and rightly so, to boast not ourselves of tomorrow. And that ought to be true for believers as well. Every day is a precious day. It's a precious day to walk with God. It's a precious day to work with God. And isn't it wonderful that the Lord has given you this day to be his servant, to be his witness in this world, to be his ambassador upon this earth? Remember, dear believer, that every day is a precious gift from God and to use it wisely. But to those who are not saved, I want to speak for a few moments, because today is an opportunity for you to be saved and an opportunity for you to prepare to meet your God. You're in the day of grace. You are in the day of opportunity, and dear friend, you need to be saved. There is a verse in Scripture, it says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." I remember preaching in my home congregation several years ago, and there was a young man sitting down to my right-hand side. And almost from the moment I started preaching the gospel message, the tears started coming down his face. And he kept wiping the tears away, and he was bothered, and he was troubled by what he heard. And I remember going to the door to shake hands with the congregation on the way out, and he couldn't look me in the eye. And the Lord was speaking to his soul. And he walked out of that meeting, and he has never yet come back to our church services. And you know, as I thought about that, I have prayed many times that the Lord would save that man. That would not be the last time he hears the Lord speaking to his soul. That would not be the last time he was under conviction of sin. You see, there's danger and there's death in delay. The reality is, if you're not saved, you are a heartbeat from hell. The place where the wrath of God is poured upon sinners for all eternity. Separation eternally from God without any hope. A place of agony, a place of destruction, a place of devastation. Friend, you're a heartbeat away from it. And yet there's a Savior who died on the cross for sinners. A Savior who died in the place of the guilty, that the guilty might go free. And I thank God for the day and the hour that the Lord called me unto himself. Friend, I can say tonight, I know that when my life comes to an end, whenever it comes to an end, whenever the numbers of my days are complete, I know for sure that I will be in heaven. Not because I went to Bible college, not because I tried to preach the gospel to others, but because one night as a 7-year-old boy, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I confessed that I was a sinner. I asked him to wash me in his precious blood and to make me clean. And thank God, that very night, the matter of my eternal destiny was settled. Christ became my Savior and my Lord. Do you know, in the Word of God, there's a passage in which the Lord Jesus Christ talks about the wise man, the foolish man. And the wise man was the one that built his house upon the rock that stood in the storm. He had the right foundation. He was trusting in the right thing. And that's a wonderful picture of the Christian. And how wonderful to know that when we're saved, our lives are built upon Christ, the solid rock. And we can say with the hymn writer, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. He is my righteousness." But the Lord speaks of the foolish. And he built his life on something that just passed away. It gave way in the storm. And the reality is, the storm of God's judgment is coming. And there's only one place of safety, and that's in Christ. Whenever we die, we need to know that we're dying in Christ. All our ways we're going to face an eternity of judgment and punishment, that awful place called hell. You know, I've spoken to people and I've heard them say things like this: "Well, I know I need to be saved, but sometime." That is one of the greatest methods of deceit that I believe the devil uses. Yes, a person agrees that they need to be right before God. A person agrees that it's only through trusting in Christ and turning from sin. A person agrees it's only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can save them and make them ready for heaven. But they say, "I'll put it off just a little longer." The Word of God says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." The reality is, you get up today, you clothe yourself, but you do not know if you will see the close of this day. And I say to you, whenever the Lord has given you this opportunity to stop and to consider life and death, time and eternity, that the Lord will teach you to number your days, that you may apply your heart unto wisdom. If there is one verse of Scripture that I could write across the Word of God that I believe is The ultimate message of this book, it is prepare to meet thy God. Are you ready? Are you ready, should the Lord call your soul from this scene of time? Are you ready to meet God? You say, preacher, how can I be ready? Well, very simply, you confess your need before the Lord. You confess that you are a sinner, deserving of hell, deserving of God's punishment. But then thank the Lord for dying on the cross for sinners, shedding his precious blood that will wash us and make us whiter than the snow, and ask the Lord to save you, to come into your heart, to come into your life, to be your Lord and to be your Savior. And praise the Lord, it says in this word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you're a cry away from salvation. Just a step away from peace with God. Will you come tonight? Will you ask the Lord to save you? Remember, your life is coming to an end. Well, thank God, tonight eternal life can be granted to you if you will call upon the Lord to save you. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and our loving eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to bring some thoughts out of this verse of Scripture. We have been reminded as we have studied this passage that, Lord, thou art in control of all things. Lord, you've given us a day to be born, and thou hast ordained a day to die. And we pray, O Lord, that all who are listening to this message will be ready to meet the Lord. O Lord, we pray tonight that sinners will turn from their sin and repentance and on to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you promised that those who come to you, you will in no wise cast out, but Lord, you'll receive them. You will change them. You'll transform them. And we pray that, Lord, if anybody is trusting in something else other than the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, that even tonight they'll repent of that. And they'll come and put their faith and trust in the Savior. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach thy word. We pray that what has been of man, it will fall to the ground. But what has been of God, let it live on and prosper. Save, we pray, for thine eternal glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.